Is it the puppet master? You wrote a short short story called The Puppet Master. He wrote Stranger in a Strange Land.
The best novel ever written, but in The Puppet Masters, what is it? Some guy, like, there's like creatures that take you over and use your body, and you don't know if your best friend has this creature inside of them or not, and then they, you know. Anyway, why did I bring that up? I'll figure it out somewhere. So in this system, you just have to plant a seed, and then you relax, and you let the seed grow, and there's no stress anymore. There's no stress at all. So there are four steps to planting a seed. Oh, that was it. Okay. First one is you can't plant a seed by yourself. In some extraordinary situations, you can plant a seed by yourself. But to plant a seed, to get a result, like passion in your life, you need another person. Okay? It can only be done with another person. You need to plant your seed in somebody else. That's why I was thinking about puppet masters. Like, you gotta go to somebody else and plant. It's like you put your seed. They had little snake creatures that they stuck inside your back, and then they took over your body. You look the same from the outside, and you never know if the guy next to you is a puppet guy. And it's like that. You have to like open up other people and plant your seed inside, and then you relax. And that's the nice part, is that you just relax. You know, like, there's no stress. I have a big garden, right? And I wanted to plant pumpkins. So you go out, you dig, you plant it. Then you add, if you know what you're doing, you add cool stuff. Like, in my soil, where I am, Starbucks coffee grounds. And they're free. And you go to Starbucks and you ask for 5 pounds of grounds. And they're happy because they don't have to throw them out. And then magnesium, which is Epsom salt. They make the flowers look a different color. Then you get horse food, alfalfa pellets, and that changes the pH of the soil, right? And then you put 10-10-10 fertilizer, but it's got to have systemic, you know, thing in it, which is long term. So if you know the special ways, what you feed the seed creates a more beautiful result, you see? So I can control the color of my roses, and I can control how high they grow and how much foliage they have and when the foliage comes out and like that. I took a picture. It's kind of a stupid picture, but anyway, the roses are now higher. They're this much taller than me, and they all these hundreds of flowers, you know, and I planted a stick, a cutting from France. Like this big, like, I don't know, like 18 months ago. So if you know, and then you overwater them on certain occasions, at certain times of day, and then, and they're taller than me, and they took over the whole, they got into the house, they start growing into the house, and flowers are blooming in the house, you know, it's really weird. And you can do that with, what do you call it? Reality seeds, right? Seeds for changing reality. So it's one thing to get up and say, you could plant your next partner, or you could plant some passion in your life, or you could plant some excitement for your career. But then you have to tell somebody about the magnesium and the Starbucks coffee grounds. And there are ways to, what do you call it, manipulate the result so that it's much faster and much more exciting, you know, that the whole thing goes much faster, like weird, like roses over your head, you know, all of them. Like the deer can't get up to them anymore. So I thought maybe we'll go over that, okay? So for passion, the first step would be to, the seed has to be planted in another person, right? And then there are certain people in your life, just quickly, people who have helped you in your life are very powerful places to plant your seeds, right? Like your parents, especially your parents. But also teachers in your life, like your yoga teacher or your first yoga teacher or like that. People who have taught you in your life, they're very powerful places to plant seeds. People who are having an emergency, like people are having a crisis, and they, especially if they have no one else to turn to, then this is a very powerful place to plant a seed. And then people who are helping many other people, right? It's a very powerful place to plant a seed, like a doctor or a yoga teacher or someone who is in a position where they're helping many other people. It's a good place to plant your seed. Then the second step, these are, by the way, these are called in Tibetan Shi Sampa Jorwa Tartuk. They're in the fourth chapter of the Abhidhamma Kosha, 350 AD, Master Vasubandhu. It's a teaching called Leki Lam. Then the second one is called Sampa. Sampa means the intention or the motivation with which you plant the seeds for passion. So you want passion in your life, and then there has to be a certain mindset with which you plant the seed. Okay, and you can almost call it planning to plant the seed. All right. So let's say I want to have more passion in my life, and I want some more excitement in my relationship. Then I have to find a person. It's got to happen at Starbucks, okay? Like, I was in Japan and I kept telling people Starbucks, and then finally somebody said, "You're just trying to help the American economy," you know? And I said, "Yeah, you know." People come to me with all kinds of problems, and nowadays I just say Starbucks, you know? And then they say, "What do you mean Starbucks?" And I said, "If you want to bring back the passion in your life, then you have to locate a person in whom to plant your seed, right? You need a person. You need a human being. Sometimes an animal, but I mean people are more powerful. You need someone to plant your seed in. That's step number one, right? And then step number three actually is going to be you have to talk. You have to help them, right? You have to do something for somebody else who's having a problem in their life. They don't like what they're doing. They don't know what they're supposed to do. Or they think there's some higher thing in life that they didn't get to yet, and they have a feeling they were supposed to do something higher, right? Those three categories. They're unhappy with their current relationship or their job, or they feel like they were supposed to be doing, they didn't find their passion in life. Like they have a decent job, they have a nice partner, right? But it's not like, they feel like there's something they're missing, yeah? And then the third one is, they thought they were supposed to be in this planet to do some big deal thing, like the Transformer kid. What's his name, Shan? Shanine? Let's call him the kid in the Transformers. Sam is better, okay. So like Sam, like I thought I was supposed to do something big in this life, right? Those are the three categories, right? So you got to put your antenna up, and you have to locate somebody who's having one of those three issues. They are unhappy with their current job or partner. They're having trouble. Or they didn't find the partner or the career that they could put their whole heart into. Like this is the thing they most love to do. You know, they didn't find the thing that they most love to do. Or then category three is kind of more difficult or challenging. I want to save the world, but I didn't get a chance. You know, like that guy's lucky, right? He just takes a job at random and he ends up with some alien agent in the next office and he can still save the world, right? Out of all the offices in the world, he's, you know, so it's, he gets a chance. He gets three chances, right? Each movie he gets a different chance. So we would, you gotta find somebody like that, okay? You have to find somebody like that. To find them, you gotta sit down and think, right? You gotta think, where am I gonna find this person, okay? You gotta consider all the people you know, all your friends, all your family. So there's a pre-meditation, right? You have to locate the person, which means you have to give it some thought. Which means that you have to do meditation and you have to plan who you're going to take to Starbucks. Okay? And then you have to, in this system, You plan even like the how what you're gonna say to them and what you're gonna do with them and which Starbucks and what day are you gonna go and you know how you're gonna start the conversation. I heard you and your wife are really angry at each other. You know, like you can't really do that, right? You gotta think of how you're gonna start it off. You know. Step number two, and I'll just do that much today. Then we'll do, that's Shi and Sampa. Then there's Jorwa and Tartu. We'll get to that tomorrow, okay? We'll do Jorwa, and then we'll do Tartu. Four meditations to put the excitement back in your life, okay? And some people never had excitement. Some people had excitement by accident, meaning past life seeds, and then they lost it for reasons they also don't know, you know? And so in this system, you can control the amount of passion in your life. It's like how much salt in the food, right? It's not just an accident. You can design the amount and the type of passion you want to have in your life, okay? And then you can make it bigger. So today we'll do I think we'll do three meditations. We'll do three of the four. But the third one is a Tonglen. So you guys know Tonglen. Most of you know Tonglen. Well, I think what you don't do sometimes is it's a multi-purpose tool. You can use Tonglen for 1,000 different results, right? Specialize? Modify? You can
customize.
You can customize your Tonglen to the result you're looking for right now, okay? So we're gonna do a customized Tonglen, which will lead to passion in your life, okay? And there's two meditations I'd like you to learn before that. They are the warm-up meditations, okay? So we'll do a couple of warm-up meditations. Two are warm-up meditations. One relates to the second way of making the seed grow faster, and one relates to the fourth way, okay? So we'll get to that. Okay, so today we'll just do, we'll start with Ukjumu, which is what? Yeah, just, you can call it breath out, breath in. That's pretty good, I think. Ukjumu. Uk means breath, jung means exhale, mup means inhale. We'll do a Ukjumu, and then we'll call, what is it called? Jamie Chu Dun Misu. Say Jamie Chu Dun Misu. Jamie Chu Dun Misu. We'll do a Jamie Chu Dun Misu, okay? Jamie Chu means get out of the past, okay? Don't get stuck in the past. I think it's about 80% of it is with your ex-girlfriend. Okay, or something, you know, or someone who, your ex-boss, or someone who, or somebody in your family who's hassled you since you were 13. Let go. Jamie Chun means let go of the past, you know, like let go of what happened in the past. Jamie Chun. Then Dun Mi Su is, what do you call it? Dun Mi Su. Don't live in the future. Don't hope for the future. Don't get caught up in expectations. Don't waste your life in expectations. Okay. Which means, can you be in the present moment? Okay. Those two meditations. Okay. Ukjumu, and Jamie Chu Dun Mi Su. These are not. They are not the main meditation. Okay. They are preparations. And then something happened in the history of Buddhism that over the last few thousand years, somebody came to the Sunday class but didn't come to the Monday class, you know, like 1,000 years ago. So they heard the Ukjumu, and they got the Jamie Chu and the Dun Mi Su, and then they went back to Chicago. And then they started just teaching that. These are just warm-ups. That's like, what do you call Surya Namaskar. Those are two Surya. It's like if you just learned Surya Namaskar and then went to Tasmania. And people said, will you teach yoga? And you said, yeah. And they said, well, we heard a normal yoga class is an hour and a half. And you say, yeah, yeah, that's right. So you do Surya Namaskars for an hour and a half, you know? And you never learned the other poses, you know what I mean? So they were never meant to be watching your breath and being in the present moment were never meant to be meditations in themselves. They were meant to prepare you for a meditation or to warm you up for a meditation. Then you have to go on to something with content, okay? Because it's the content that affects you, okay? So in planting a passion for your life, there are four steps like magnesium and alfalfa and shimbaka coffee grounds. What's shimbaka? Starbucks. In China, they say shimbaka. So there are four steps like that, right? Only one of them involves helping somebody else directly, physically, okay? That's number three. Then we're going to work on number one and number two and number four. Number one, number two, and number four can be done in meditation. And they are the special stuff that makes the seed grow faster. And wildly, what do you call it? Like grows into your house. It really came through the, it's weird. And then it blasted a whole bouquet. It grew through these wooden things, like three branches, and then it blasted all these flowers. It's like a rose bouquet in the house. It's really weird. And you will get that. So you need to get that kind of, what do you call it? Bizarre cool result. You need to know the steps how to plant. And that planting has to be done at the core of the mind, where the seeds are stored. And that you reach in meditation. So then meditation becomes a tool to reach the things you want and to help other people. So meditation becomes a way of affecting the entire world around you, okay? So we'll do those, we'll do four meditations, we'll do four steps. During this week, we will work at the core and we will bring passion to your life. If you already have passion, you will get more, okay? And you see, when you already have something, you also have to do the four steps. Why? It'll wear out, okay? It'll wear out. You can't just cruise. You can't cruise. I had a lady, she asked me, I want to get a partner, you know? So I taught her this whole complicated thing. You have to have an old lady. You have to take care of her. You have to make sure she's not lonely. You have to take her to Mexican dinners at the church. And introduce her to all your male friends, and she has a crush on them. Alejandro, Nikki. Is Nikki coming today? And what about that Johnny O? Is he in town? And then I told this lady, you have to take care of some older lady, you know. And then she did, and she got married. She found a partner, they got married. I did the marriage. And then I asked her, like, a couple weeks later, I said, how's the old lady doing? Who needs the old lady? I found the guy. And I said, now, you gotta keep the seed going, you know? You gotta keep it rolling, okay? You can't stop. So if you already have something you love to do, you know, I love yoga, I love to teach yoga. Or, you know, I love music, I love to do music. Or I like business, I really enjoy business, you know? And then you can't stop. You can't rest on that. You have to keep planting because it will wear out. Those seeds will wear out. And then one day you will come to work and you'll hate it, or your music won't be beautiful anymore. Something will happen. Okay, so whatever you have that you like, your physical health, I can do all these poses, or I have a nice partner, or I love my job, you still have to keep planting seeds. You have to plant more than other people to keep it going, because otherwise it will wear out, and you will lose it. All seeds wear out. You have to keep, what do you call it? perpetuating them. You have to reinvest, okay? So whatever good things you have to do this meditation. Whatever good things you don't have, you have to do these meditations. Okay? All right, so let's start. Okay. What time am I supposed to stop, Becky? I messed up yesterday. Yeah? Okay. Sure? Okay. Okay. Sure? Because then... And what time the yoga starts?
10:30 to 11:30.
Oh, I just... No pee-pee. Okay. I won't do any forward bends with them then. All right. Okay. All right. By the way, we have a fantastic yoga teacher today, one of my dearest friends, and I love her and her yoga, and that's Jenny Brill from LA. I used to take her class. Me and Laura, I used to go visit Laura Christie's mom, and we were dying for yoga, and we found this studio near her mom's house, and we used to go to that class. That's when I wasn't speaking in the morning, and so we never talked in her class, and she never knew who we were, and we couldn't talk to her. But the classes are extraordinary. And then, you know, after I started talking, I invited her to come, you know, because I just really like her classes. Okay, so she's very kindly agreed to come. Okay, so sit up straight. Relax the muscles of your forehead. Relax the corners of your mouth. Relax your eyelid. Move your torso forwards or backwards and see if you can find a point of balance where it takes no effort to stay up straight. Tighten your belly muscles slightly, which loosens your lower back. Please start focusing on your breath. Bring your mind to the tip of your nose. I like to go climb under like a rock climber, tip of the nose. Then you are watching the opening of your nostrils. And you're like a parking lot guard. You're just watching the cars come and go. You're not concerned about where they're driving to. And it's not your job to park the car. You're just at the entrance of the parking lot and you're watching the cars come in the gate and leave the gate. So watch your breath. Just stay aware of the circle of the two nostrils and the feeling of the breath passing that circle, those two circles, in and out. Ukjungup. Keep your face soft, keep your lips soft, keep your eyelids relaxed. Now please start to count the breaths as they come and go. Up to 10 and then start again. The out breath is the first half, the in breath is the second half. I like to put the number on the in breath. Keep your body still. Try not to move any part of your body. Now as you count your breath, try to observe your mind. See if you think about something else during the counting. And if you catch your mind thinking about something else during the counting, then start back again at one. I think if you're very honest with yourself, which is the point of this exercise, you might not get past three most days. So count your breaths, out breath, first half, in breath, second half. If you think of something else, like lunch or what's going to happen this week or what somebody said to you yesterday, then start the count over again. When you're ready, please gently open your eyes. You can take a nice stretch. Is there any way to turn the air down a little bit? Do you feel cold?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we'll do the second of the four meditations for passion. By the way, cover yourself because you'll get sick, I think. Yeah. So I'll just explain the theory of Jason Michio till we know no one's going to be coming out in or out of the door, right? It's a kind of mahamudra, or it's a warm up for a mahamudra. Mahamudra has many meanings. It means great seal, right? It's a whole teaching in itself. It would take a week to talk about Mahamudra. But in one meaning of the word Mahamudra is that during a meditation, we observe our own mind. So we are, the object of the meditation isn't your lama's form, or it isn't someone else's troubles, or it isn't your breath. During Mahamudra meditation, you are observing your own mind, okay? So you are using part of the mind to watch the rest of the mind, okay? And then obviously that involves breaking off a little piece of the mind to watch the rest of the mind, all right? I don't know, different people have different ways of doing it, but for me, what works is to feel like I'm stepping back from the mind. Okay, so I don't know why. I think you have spatial things in your mind, right? The mind has no form, but still you have a spatial orientation in your mind oftentimes. Like for me, when I think of certain streets or certain people, they come up in a different area of my head. And then when I do Mahamudra, I like to step back from the mind, and I feel like going back from the back of my head. So try it. We'll be separating a small piece of the mind, and it will step back from, try the back of your head and see how it works. Stepping back from the back of your mind, and try to get the feeling that it's only a little piece of your mind, and that the main mind is like a big thing, and that the watcher mind is a little thing. Okay, so we're going to practice. This is the second meditation, right? What do you want to call it? I don't know. Jason Michel Dumisu. Don't get stuck in the past or future, or something like that. We'll call it the present moment. How's that? We're going to separate out a piece of our mind to the back, and then that part of your mind is going to watch the rest of your mind. If you want to be a meditator, right? Like a lot of people in this room, you became yoga practitioners. How? You went to a yoga school, or you found a yoga teacher, you worked with them, they taught you, and then just years, right? Just days, day after day, year after year, you went back to the studio and they helped you, and the teacher taught you the poses, and then the main thing is that you spent the time, right? And you kept going back to classes. By the way, it's a beautiful class yesterday. I really, really enjoyed the class yesterday. It's like having a nice breakfast or something. I like nice breakfast. So anyway, you take part of your mind back and then watch your mind. I've observed in my life, some people get it in 5 minutes, you know? You say, take a little piece of your mind, step back and watch your mind. And then it's already like they've been meditating for 10 years. They saved themselves like 5 to 10 years. If you develop this one skill in your whole life, you're a meditator, okay? And then some people, you can talk about it, you can tell them about it, you can ask them to step back from their mind, and then they're still stuck in the thought. You see? They're not watching the thought. They're stuck in it. So see if you can draw the distinction, okay? During this next meditation, see if you can draw the distinction between watching your mind think its thoughts, right? So really it's two things you're watching, right? You're watching your own mind and what it's thinking, okay? You're watching your mind think its thoughts, but you are not there. You are watching both of those things, okay? See if you can get out of the mind who's thinking the thoughts and step back and watch the mind thinking the thoughts, okay? Some people get it in 5 minutes. Some people it takes years. If you can, just do it, okay? All right? Just do it today. Don't fool around. Just concentrate today and do it. Step back and watch two things, your mind, listening to its thoughts, really, right? The mind is not really thinking thoughts. The mind is it's a witness of the thoughts. The mind is hearing what your karmic seeds are throwing at it. So watch the mind singing his thoughts, okay? Try really hard. You will save yourselves. Then you become a meditator in a half hour. It's like the place that a person gets in yoga only after 10 years of daily yoga practice. They get to a certain space, right? I'm telling you a cheap way to get to this space. You can do it in one day, really, honest. And then you're a meditator. Then you have this incredibly powerful tool for the rest of your life, okay? Learn to watch your mind think its thoughts and don't be in the thoughts, okay? Don't be in the thought. Try, okay? You ready? Here we go. All right. Sit up straight, adjust chest forward or back, find a place of balance. Stomach slightly tighten. Face soft. Come to your breath. We always start with the breath. Come to your breath. Sit down in that little booth at the gate of the parking lot, which is your tip of your nose, and watch the cars come and go. Your breath. Now please imagine a small part of your mind separating off, stepping back from the back of your head, small watcher, observer, part of your mind stepping back from the back of your head. Now very consciously and carefully turn the eyes of that watcher on your mind. Watch your mind listening to its thoughts. Two things you're watching, the mind, and you're watching the mind listening to its thoughts. And don't be the main listener. You are the watcher of your own mind, listening to its thoughts. Be very quiet. You're up in the, you're a spectator in the stands, and you are watching the game down on the field. You're watching the mind interact with its thoughts. And you are passive and you are apart from the mind, listening to its thoughts. And just observe what thoughts are being thought. Don't try to change them. Don't get involved. You don't go out on a football field and try to change what's going on. You're just watching. If you forget and get into the game, if you walk down into the field and then you catch yourself, then get back in the stands and watch. Are you listening to the thoughts yourself, or are you watching your mind listen to the thoughts? Try to separate yourself from the main mind listening. You are watching the main mind listening to its thoughts. Try to keep a distance. check back, see if you're thinking the thoughts or you're watching yourself think the thoughts. Then slowly come back to your breath. It's nice to come out of a meditation gently. Step back into the booth at the parking lot. Watch your breath. And then slowly open your eyes, take a stretch. So you can say there are three steps to this meditation, right? I like people taking notes, and thank you for taking notes, because it means you're going to teach it well. If you're not taking notes, maybe tomorrow, okay? Because you have to teach it, right? You're in the next generation, you have to teach it, okay? But we'll put it up online, okay? Everything. Steal everything, take it. Write a book about it. Put your name on it. It's okay. I'm happy. I like it. I guess you can say there are three parts of this meditation, right? One is to get in touch with your mind listening to its thoughts, right? For the first time, maybe in your life, rather than listening to the thoughts, you're observing yourself listening to thoughts. So that's the first thing, is to get in touch with your mind thinking, hearing its thoughts. Then the second step would be to evaluate those thoughts, right? We didn't get there yet. We didn't do that. We were just observing, right? Second step would be, am I thinking about something good or something bad, you know? Am I thinking about something selfish or something, you know, unselfish? Or you could divide many ways, right? You could evaluate the thoughts you're having. By the way, we're going to run over a bit, okay? Because it's my yoga class, I can run in over and in. Okay. Because I want to leave you with this gift. It's important that you have it. Yoga we can do anytime. Huh? Till what time? So evaluate, right? Step two, evaluate. We're going to evaluate only one thing today. Are those thoughts mostly of the present or the future or the past? Okay? We're not going to try to change them. At step two, we're not changing. We're just evaluating. Are the thoughts about what's happening next week? Mine are mostly the next meal. I don't know about you. Okay. The next feeding. So am I thinking about the future? Am I thinking about the past, which is always your ex somebody? Okay, like, oh, they hurt me, or they said that about me, or it's like your ex or your boss, or, you know, usually those two, I guess. That's a thought about the past. Or am I in the present moment? Do I feel completely in this room? Okay, that's evaluation. We're going to evaluate only that. Okay, that's step two. Step three will be an attempt to control. Okay? Step three will be an attempt to keep the mind here in this room and not leave the room. When Lama Christy and I went on three-year retreat in 2000, 1999, we went to Ken Rinpoche. It's the last time I'm going to see my teacher who I've lived with for 25 years, right? For 3 years. And then I'm like, you know, there was a big moment, and we're like, we set aside 3-4 hours, and we went, and we, you know, we got an audience, and we sat down, and you know, we said, please give us advice for 3-year retreat. And Ken Rinpoche looks at us and says, you're staying in a yurt, right? And we're like, yes. They call a sokor, sokor. Say sokor. Sok means sokpo, means Mongol, Mongol, Mongolian. Kur means a tent. Okay, then. They call it a Mongol tent, a yurt. So you're staying in a sokor, wa? Sokor nam degerwa? And I said, yeah, we're going to stay in a sokor. Then he said, keep your mind in the sokor. Then he started playing with his dog, you know? And then we're like, you know, he says, okay, that's it, bye. Have a nice time. You know, we're like, but it's very hard to stay in a room. To keep your mind in this room, okay? That is like the toughest thing he could have said, right? Because I was off in Star Shimbaka, and then I was off at work at my company, and you know, like that, okay? So step three will be to try to control. So first step, just learn to connect with your mind. Watch your mind, listening to its thoughts. Step two, evaluate. That will happen naturally. As you learn to listen to your own thoughts, you will be shocked by the crud going on there. You know, like you get kind of disappointed in your own mind. You know, like, I can't believe that you spend 35 out of every 60 minutes thinking about the next feeding. I mean, don't worry. It's going to be okay, you know. You know, it's really weird. I mean, the better you get, there'll be a sort of feeling of depression at the beginning when you really are aware of how much of your time you're thinking about food or something. And then you can improve, right? But if you're not aware, you'll never improve, right? So, and then step three, we'll try to control it. We'll try to put some barriers on the mind and see if we can keep it here. Okay, you ready? We're going to do step two. So we're going to just evaluate. Then we're going to take a vote, by the way, so there's a lot of pressure here. We're going to take a vote. How many people, mostly in the past? How many people, mostly in the future? Mostly means you're going to flip back and forth, right? I want to know majority of your thoughts are of the past or of the future or of the present, okay? Please don't try to control the thoughts. Just be honest. Just evaluate. We're just at step two. Just evaluate. Don't try to impress everybody else. You know, we know you were thinking about lunch. We just want you to admit it. All right? So we're just at step two. We're just evaluating. Okay? All right. Take a cup. But I find that when the room, is there any way to heat the room up a little bit? No? Okay. Do you feel like it's warmer?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, okay. I find that when the room is cold, if I put my hands like this, I build up some heat here. And if the room is hot, and I do the chin mudra thing, then air gets in between here and I feel cooler. So, okay, here we go. We'll go straight to our breath. Every time you meditate should be intense. Don't let yourself have a poor meditation. When I say go to the breath and stay there as if your life depended on it. If you get in the habit of a poor meditation, it's very difficult to break. very consciously, very purposely, very carefully, separate a part of your mind, step back, let that part of your mind step back out of the back of your skull. You should have a physical sensation of stepping back. And then begin to observe your own mind, listening to its thoughts, without being part of that mind that's listening. You are just watching your mind listen to its thoughts. First, just try to hear some of the thoughts being listened to. Now please start to evaluate those thoughts. Are they mostly about something that's happening after this meditation session? Could be this afternoon or this evening, next week, next year. Or are the thoughts mostly about the past? This person said this to me. I had a fight with so-and-so. I used to really like that. Or are the thoughts about the present moment? I'm in the room, I'm meditating with a group of really fantastic people who are also interested in meditation. Which thoughts are most? Past, present, or future? Don't try to control, just observe. slowly please come back to your breath. And then relax, stretch. Is it still too cold? Yeah, especially for class, I think. For yoga class. Okay, it's time for elections. How many people's thoughts were mostly in the past? No, hands up high. Come on, come on. That's unusual to have that few. Okay, mostly in the future. Oh, it's going to be a good lunch, don't worry. Present moment. Mostly in the room. Hi, hi, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Some people are voting twice. Okay, all right. I could feel the strain in the room of trying to stay on the thoughts, you know. That's like yesterday in Anton's class, he's got us doing, I don't know what it is, you cross your knee over and my arms were going like, I was like, Mrs. Hancock shouldn't have given me that coffee, you know. And then, but at the beginning you should be shaking, your arms should be shaking. That's a good sign. Okay, if you feel tired or strained, you know, that's a good sign. That means the mental muscles are going to get stronger, okay? If you don't feel some strain, you're probably not in the right place. So, I mean, there should be some strain because it's hard and you're starting. And then later it will get stronger and stronger. Your concentration will get fiercely strong and you'll be a different person. Why? Because later you're going to start focusing on your emotions, right? And how you feel about people. And instead of dividing past, present, future, you're going to be dividing kind thought, not so kind thought, irritated thought. And then, you know, when you have that election, you're going to be shocked. All right. So, poll, right? What do you call it? Presidential poll. So, look, if you learn to observe your own mind, you become a much kinder person immediately because you're just suddenly aware of how much stuff there is in there. And observing without trying to change is often the change. Okay. All right. So we're going to do one more. This time we're going to try to control the thoughts. Okay. We're going to. And you go in slow, right? You sneak up on them. So we'll watch the breath. Then we'll observe for a while. We'll separate back. We'll step back. We'll observe for a while, past, present, or future. Then we're going to put up barriers against the future and the past. We're going to set barriers. I like to make them spatial. You know, one behind my head and one, so it's going to be here and here. This will be a barrier against future thoughts. This will be a barrier against past thoughts. We're going to try to stay between those two barriers. If you make them like a big adobe wall, then you're in a dark alley and it's uncomfortable. So the tradition is to make them translucent and almost, what do you call it? Call it something has its own light, like luminous. Okay, so this will be luminous and this will be luminous. All right, When you're meditating and your mind gets tired, you have what? Chingwa or gopa? Chingwa. When your mind gets tired and you feel dull, throw in some luminous things. That's an old meditation fix. Throw in something which is a little bright and is self, what do you call it? Self-illuminating, okay? Like a light bulb or some, you know, the sky. And then the mind will perk up. Okay? So we're going to put two walls. We're going to make them clear, translucent. Okay, like those, what do you call the brick, glass bricks? Walls made out of those glass bricks. Okay, so it's going to be pleasant to be in between the walls. And we're going to try to stay in the present moment. Okay, you ready? And then we'll stop. Okay. The most basic preparation for meditation is to get your place, your body, to a place of complete stillness. Okay, that no part of your body moving at all. Keep your mind on your breath. Don't let yourself get lazy. Work hard. Keep your mind on your breath. Take a small piece of your mind, very consciously step back away from your mind. Start to watch your mind listening to its thoughts. We're tired. The mind is tired from the earlier meditations. So you're going to have to work a little harder, be a little tough. now that we're in touch with our thoughts, which is step one, do step two, evaluate, are they past, mostly future, mostly present? What's the theme in your mind in this hour? What's your mind mostly thinking about? Now please imagine a step three, try to control those thoughts. Place a translucent wall up against your forehead. Imagine it where your forehead is, and where this wall is going to block any thoughts of the future. So starting now, try to control the thoughts. Don't allow any thoughts of the future. If you think about something which is going to take place after this time in this room, then stop that thought. You can have thoughts about the past, but don't have thoughts about the future. Now place a second wall at the back of your head, behind the back of your head, a clear translucent wall, and that wall is going to prevent any thoughts about the past. So we're observing the thoughts being thought, and we're stopping any thought that is not in this room and in this moment, and bring your thoughts back. If you find one sneaking out to the future or to the past, bring it back to the present moment and bring it to this room and this group of people. Stay between the two walls. We try to reach a feeling of surrender, or of relaxing, or resting between the two walls. Be in this room. Be contented to be in this room. Be happy and satisfied to be in the present moment. And relax, surrender. You have nothing to do after this. The past is past, you can't change it, let it go. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. Relax into the present moment. Be here in this room and let that be enough. Please come back to your breath. Observe your breath. And then slowly open your eyes and stretch. Okay. I'm supposed to stop my yoga at 11:30, right? Roughly. Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. We're going to skip my yoga today, okay? And we'll start Jenny's class on time. So we have about 15 minutes. If anybody has any questions. Okay. I'd like to suggest one thing. First, any questions about this meditation, and then any general questions. So we'll do like a 20-minute satsang, till 15 minutes, okay? And so any questions about today's session? Yeah, and then. I'll just repeat the question in case you couldn't. I think it happens to many of us. So I'm not specifically thinking about events of past, present, or future. I'm having, by the way, the mind is working 65 images per second. So you're getting in touch with images. You're getting in touch with every 15th image or something. And that even that looks like a big jumble, you know, like it's like I have a little flash of a hamburger, and then I have a flash of this guy, and then I have a flash of this picture, and I have a little piece of an idea, and I don't have a flow of a event, past, present, or future. I'm having when I really get in touch with my mind, it really is 65 images. These are karmic seeds ripening in your mind, which cause the thoughts. So you're kind of getting to the seeds. So I think what I would do in that case was try to grab one every 13th or 14th one, you know, like grab one and evaluate that. Was that past, present, or future? Was that image from something I knew before, somebody I knew before, or was it of something that I am going to know, think about? But yeah, as you learn to watch your mind, you become aware of the fleeting nature of the mind. It's in Tibet they say it's like lightning. Your thoughts are like lightning. When you really get in touch with them, they're like amazingly fast. So yeah, try to catch every third one or tenth one, and then let the other ones go. Your mind will keep going. Take that image and come and let the little mind look at it and say, where was that from? Was that from 1993 or? Yeah. Yeah, pick one. That'll probably be a pretty good test. In the diamond business, in my business, we process 3 million stones a day. Somebody brings a bag of diamonds like this, and then we have to purchase them. And we mix them up, because the guy might have put the best ones on top. So first we jumble them up, and then we take out 4%, 5%, and we check them carefully. Then we buy 10,000 stones, because you can't look at 10,000 stones. So your mind is the same. You can't. There's going to be thousands of images. And do a selection. They call a selection. Do a selection and evaluate those, because it's too many. Yeah, 100.
So when you were saying about watching the thoughts and watch the watcher.
Watch the listener.
Or the listener?
Yeah.
So then the thoughts could be just images, like blurry or sometimes narrative, like saying something, or a mix.
Yeah.
But then the watcher has no, it's like the thoughts, like those thoughts are like in concentric circle, they're like somewhere farther, and the watcher is somewhere like,
yeah, 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 good, yeah.
But
yeah.
Then it seems that like the whole reality is just like half semicircle, because then the other part of the back is like not, there's nothing there. And
yeah.
In the watcher, you cannot really find it because it has no substance.
Nobody's watching it.
And you cannot locate it. I mean, you can feel something, but
yeah.
How do you like know what the watcher is if it has no like pixels or sounds or has
yeah.
no movement, like
yeah,
it's
okay.
kind of difficult.
I think if you want to go straight to the deepest answer, okay,
yeah.
Which is difficult, you are not having thoughts and you are not thinking thoughts. You are listening to karmic seeds ripening in your mind. You don't have control, you know. You are observing a seed that opened a split second before. And, you know, you're actually in the past all the time. There's a debate about it. Okay? You're watching an event that happened a millisecond ago, which was a thought, which came from a karmic seed opening in your mind. So you can plant your thoughts, but you can't control your thoughts. You see, it's very interesting. So think about that in terms of the watcher. You see, who is the watcher? The watcher is a karmic seed that opened a millisecond ago. Because of some kindness you did to someone else, you taught somebody else meditation. Okay? Just think of it that way. Work on that. Think of it that way. To get a good watcher in your head, you're going to have to do what? Share meditation with somebody else. Okay? All right? Got it? It's not a matter of trying hard or forcing it. Or in this system, all progress is made by planting seeds at Shimbakar. No, like, from now on, people come up to me with their personal problems, I'm just going to say, did you go to Starbucks? You know, and they'll say, and I'll say, just go away. You know, tell me you went to Starbucks, then I'll talk to you about your problem. Because it always involves helping someone else. You know, and if you don't go to Starbucks, then I don't want, why should I talk to you? You know, then you're gonna help somebody else, or you're thinking about helping somebody else, or you don't know how to help somebody else, or, okay? That's gonna be my new thing. Then I'll be able to have hot chocolate during the breaks, because nobody will talk to me. All right, any more questions? How's the time? We're good. Okay, Chapman, yeah. Yeah, the room can become another object. So it's just a way to start being here, okay? And how you feel, what is here, and what is now. It's a tool. Start with the room because it's easier. Rinpoche said, "Stay in the yurt," right? So it was round and it had a top and it had a skylight, and that can all be distracting. You know, you start looking at the sticks, the Mongolian painted sticks, and, you know, yeah, so it's just a general guideline. Get yourself in the room, then you can let the room go. But the point is to try to be here at this. I went for a hike the other day. I found this mesa I can see from my house, and it's so sexy, it's so beautiful. And I want to go there, and I want to climb it, you know, and I went. I did all, I called the ranger station, I said, how do I get there, you know, and they said, there's a trailhead, you know, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. And then I found on, Google Maps, there's a latitude and a longitude down to the thousands. It tells you within 6 feet that you're at the head of the trail, on my iPhone. By latitude and longitude, you know, it's 44.60773, you know, and then you'll know you're at the... You're within 5 feet of the head of the trail. So I'm like, it was really fun. So you're just bringing, you know, you gotta, it's present and past, right? And then it's North Phoenix and South Phoenix. And you gotta triangulate yourself into a certain present moment. And then, I didn't carry the iPhone after that. I found the trailhead. I turned off the iPhone and then I enjoyed where I was. So you just use the room idea to get there, and then you can let the room go. I'll say one thing, then I'll take another question. You know you're doing this meditation well if you feel a huge sense of relief and comfort and relaxation, because you can finally be here and not worry about who hurt you yesterday or last year or 10 years ago, and you don't have to worry about lunch or dinner or how you're going to pay your credit card. You are given permission to be here. And if you feel this huge sense of relief to be here in the present moment, then you're doing it right. Then you found it. You got it. Okay? Other questions? Yeah.
Okay.
Talk louder.
But after that, I was just in the present. There was no way to do this. Then I didn't know what to do.
Okay, it's a good.
Actually,
yeah. Did everybody hear the question?
No.
Okay, so Anatol said first he had Anton's experience. And I think it's a sign that you're really watching your mind well when you start seeing flashes and images are going, woof, 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 you know. And it's like watching a busy highway, you know. And so Anatol had that experience first. Then for some reason there was a lot of fruit flies, okay. And then suddenly he's in the present moment, you know. And then he's like, well, then what do I do? What do you want me to do then? Okay, relax there. Get a feeling of contentment and relaxation there. Contentment, by contentment I mean a thought will come and prick your mind. You see, you're in the space of the present moment. And then some little thought, like a thorn, will come and say, but what about that email? And then you gotta, like, you know, gently push it away. It will try to pull you into the past or the future. Because you can't stay there. Something will come. It's really just the karma ripening, right? And then some thought will knock on the door. That's called gopatamo. That's subtle agitation. An almost thought. You see? You will sense an almost thought coming. And then you gotta say no. Okay? So you can stay there in the present and watch for almost thoughts coming. They call it water under the ice, right? They call it a stream under the ice. It's gonna break through into a thought. And you can sense it coming, and you say, no, I'm not gonna think about that email. This is especially the case if you had a crisis yesterday with somebody, okay? Or you want something really bad. And that will keep knocking at the door of the present moment and saying, come, think about tomorrow or yesterday, okay? And you gotta head it off before it breaks through into your present moment thought, okay? You gotta get good at identifying almost thoughts, almost happening thoughts, and then you gotta block them, okay? So then you gotta do something with the meditation. There has to be content, okay? The present moment by itself is not content. Okay, this is only a tool. We are the first two meditations that we've talked about today, which are Ogjumo. Say Ogjumo. Ogjumo. You got Ogjumo. Ogjumo, watching your breath. That's just a tool. And being in the present moment is just a tool. These are like telescopes or microscopes. Okay, they are just tools. They are like the ability to read. Okay, then you got to decide what you're going to read. Okay, and some people never get past the telescope. There's whole schools of meditation, which I won't name. They spend their whole life watching their breath, no content. You got to put a highly charged, powerfully virtuous, amazing, spiritual thing in front of that telescope to change your mind. Because just focusing is just a tool. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any benefit. You can take drugs and have great focus. There's drugs you can take that give great, you know, focus, but they don't help you. You know, you don't develop as a person into a kinder person or a more spiritual person. So these first two meditations, don't get caught in the trap of using the tool as the goal. They are just tools. And then what you're saying is that you get in the present moment, then you gotta turn the telescope to something meaningful, which is what we'll do tomorrow, okay? That's meditation number three. Okay, we have a few more. Yes, please. Loud, okay, so everybody can hear.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Did everybody hear? Okay. The time and space that the watcher is in is going to be different from the time and space that the mind listening to the thoughts is in. Yeah. That's okay. So this guy is by definition always current if he's watching. All right? If the watcher is strong, what do we call the watcher in Tibetan? Shishin. You can call it Shishin. Watcher mind. By definition, he's in the present. If you stay in watcher mind, that part is in the present. Always. Okay? But the scene he's observing can be past or present, okay? Or future. Got it? So try to distinguish between the watcher is by definition always in the current moment. You may lose yourself in these thoughts. I would say, see if you're not listening, see if you're not the mind listening to the thoughts rather than the watcher watching the mind, listen to the thoughts, okay? Yeah.
So The thoughts that I'm watching are really ideas. They don't, I can't put them in a spatial timeline. Or maybe I'm not understanding how to do that well enough. They're more concepts.
Give me one example. Okay. Yeah, that's present. Yeah. If you're that's a qigong, we call qigong, right? It's evaluating the logic of something, okay, or the reasonableness of something, and that's fine. That would be present moment. Okay? Yeah. By the way, is planning, can it be present moment? Yeah. Okay? Planning can be present moment. I'm not saying you can never think about the future. You have to. You know, you do have credit card bills and you have to make a plan about them. Okay? But the planning can be present moment. Okay? In the present moment. Maybe one more. Then we got to get to Jenny's. By the way, Jenny's class is, you know, it's billed as intermediate advanced or whatever, but my philosophy is just come anyway. And do whatever you can do, because she's a beautiful teacher. She'll take care of you. She'll make sure you have something to do. You don't have to be an advanced yogi to take her class, okay? Just try. You might find you'll have a good time. And if something's too difficult, then just shavasana, right? Whatever she tells you to do. You can relax and then keep going, okay? One more. Yes, please. That's great, because that's actually what's happening. So if you're aware that it's happening, you're doing good. Okay? You will get sucked into the main mind. You will be the thinker for a while. And you'll say, wait a minute, I was supposed to be watching.
Exactly.
And you step back again. And there should be this feeling of, it's like a magnet, you know, and you're trying to stay away, and then it goes, whoop, and you start to say, God damn, why did you say that yesterday? And then you go, no, get back, you know. You can watch yourself asking why he said it, but you can't be the person asking why he said it yesterday. Okay, got it? And the fact that you feel the difference means you got it. You're doing it. You got that. And then you're like 5 years ahead in your meditation or 10 years ahead in your meditation. Some people never get that. Some people never get there. Okay? They meditate for years and they can't watch their own mind. You know? So if you learn this one skill, it's like you're already a super meditator. Okay? This is the one skill that you need to meditate well. And if you're there, if you're aware of that going on, you already got it. Okay? All right. Let's take a pee-pee break. And then Jenny's class will start. Let's say, can we say 11:35? That gives you 10 minutes. Is that okay? How would you like Jenny, how would you like us to face?
I don't know.
No, you gotta choose.
That could be the front where you are.
Okay. Okay. All right.
The bathrooms are out this door, and then you go that way, and then you go that way.
Two left turns out the door. I think we put them in the back.
No, no. Do you need to go to the bathroom?
Yes, I do. Okay.